At Digging Deeper, we want to do everything we possibly can to protect these babies from sickening creatures. We refuse to sit and watch from the bleachers. The ugly truth. Hard to listen to, but impossible to ignore. Here's Struggle Jennings and his daughter Brianna with a cry for help. And then we'll get started on the ugly truth.
Off of these blurry eyes, gonna be a horror story with a scary dies. Angels fly with their guns out, causing hella fire when Mother Mary cries. I heard the lies, but I seen the truth. They're gonna silence you if you bring the proofs. They gonna call you crazy when you call them out. They try to box us in, but we can box them out. Don't dare ask me what I'm talking about. If you ain't listened yet, then you'll never hear it. We gonna pray to God and we gonna stand up. Got an army here, I know the devil fear. Yeah, the future's clear when you know the past. And that train is coming and it's rolling fast. Gotta fix the path that's on a broken track. There's no time for us to be holding back. Now we need some leaders to wake up the sleepers. Make believers out of non-believers. Let freedom of speech ring through the speakers. Take the filthy rich to the cleaners. Shine our light, baby, high beamers. Don't let sex crimes be a misdemeanor. Protect these babies from these sickening creatures. I refuse to sit and watch from the bleachers.
Save me, I can't save myself. Save me.
It's time for the ugly truth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you have here tonight?
The dark side of kids' TV.
The dark side. Well, isn't that what the ugly truth is about?
It is.
It is hard to listen to, but impossible to ignore.
So, what is the English translation of the Latin phrase, Nec calo Deo?
What? You're sounding like you're playing Mad Gab here with me. Nickelodeon? That one? That Nickelodeon?
It appears that Google Translate has already redefined this to mean God bless you.
Oh, shut up.
But if you break down every word individually into iTranslate, one of the top translator apps available, Nick means nothing. Nick Kelo, or Kilo, means I don't care. And Dio, anybody who goes to church understands that Deo is God, mm-hmm. right? This phrase actually means, I don't care about God.
Huh.
Interesting that the name chosen for a kid's TV channel is so closely tied to that Latin phrase.
Hmm.
Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon shaped children's comedy TV beginning in the 90s. And a new documentary is exposing industry leaders at Nickelodeon for verbal, emotional, and sexual abuse.
Mm.
Quiet on Set reveals an insidious environment rife with allegations of abuse, sexism, racism, inappropriate dynamics with its underage stars and crew. This docuseries aired on March 17th and 18th, compiled several interviews reflecting on the early days of Nickelodeon.
Mm.
So first I've got the trailer here.
This is just sickening.
So let me go ahead and we're going to watch this trailer.
In the early 90s, Nickelodeon was kid everything. And you better hope that your house had cable.
Wasn't there to educate you. We were there to have fun, to get slime, to be entertained.
And this is when Dan Schneider arrives.
Nickelodeon's golden boy. He created these shows that were hugely successful for them.
No one had ever really done sketch comedy starring kids for kids.
He launched the careers of child actors who became major stars.
For 20 years, he shaped children's entertainment and culture.
Hey, thank you for being here.
But that marked one of the darkest chapters.
Working for Dan was like being in an abusive relationship.
Dan's treatment of people on his shows was an open secret.
So my lawyer filed complaints, gender discrimination, hostile work environment, harassment, and it was so devastating.
How safe can any kids be in that environment? There would be even bigger problems down the line with actual pedophiles on set.
These are three predators who worked at Nickelodeon, all in a short amount of time.
Hey guys, we're ready for you.
It was a toxic environment. It made me trust people less.
We were there for so many hours. You get comfortable with people until you're not. I had no idea what I was saving my son from. It was a house of horrors.
They find this enormous trove of child pornography.
The officer said we found Ziploc bags, each one with a girl's name on it.
11 charges of child sexual abuse related to a child actor.
It made me wonder who was being hurt.
I've been waiting 17 years for today.
It wasn't dealing with anybody on the shows or anything, right?
It was a child actor.
On one of our shows?
Yes.
Have you ever told your story publicly before?
So, there are four episodes to Quiet on the Set. Number one is called Rising Stars, Rising Questions, and this episode focused on the work environment at Nickelodeon. At the end of the episode, they go into great detail about the suffering of Amanda Bynes and all that actors. And Dan Schneider only had two female writers on staff and forced them to split a salary. Let's watch that one.
There are all these setups that reference porn, like squirting goo on Jamie Lynn's face when she's just 13 years old.
Feel these kids' feet. Wow, they're really soft.
People were looking back at old scenes and saying, Dan Schneider is obsessed with feet. Check this out.
It's all very gross and foul.
Impossible to escape children's feet.
Dan Schneider.
Absolutely disgusting.
He's a grown-ass man. What the f*** are you doing?
There's one video of Ariana Grande making a joke about a potato.
Sometimes I wonder if you can get juice from a potato.
Did that air on Nickelodeon?
Come on, give up the juice.
Yikes.
I'm thirsty.
In another video, Ariana's pouring water on herself in what seems like a very sexual manner. And people started saying, this feels inappropriate for children. Looking at Dan Schneider's stars, some of them became extremely famous. Some of them really struggled publicly.
After her arrest last week.
Now, some of them are starting to speak out about what happened when they were on his sets.
I worked with an incredibly emotionally abusive producer.
I did not feel safe around Dan Schneider while I was working at Nickelodeon.
All of this information has made us wonder what was happening behind the scenes. As a reporter and insider, I wanted to...
On all that, what really made me feel the most uncomfortable were the leotards. I mean, I was just a growing boy trying to, you know, fit into my body, and it was just out there for everyone to kind of look at and judge me, or, you know, I just felt very exposed. So one week we get a script, there's a new character for me on all that named Noseboy, naturally. I'm in a superhero costume, which is just tights and underwear. You know, what was different about this, they gave me a prosthetic nose, like an enlarged nose, and they put this same nose on the costume.
I can't defeat those!
What are your special powers?
You can't help but notice that it looks like penis and testicles on my shoulders.
This is a child playing this role, and he's playing it for other children. His audience is kids as young as six.
I'm allergic to asteroids.
And the joke in that sketch is effectively a shot joke. It's a shot joke for children.
Hello, citizens. My name is Penelope Taint.
So, Penelope Taint. Is a character that Dan created.
My name is Penelope Taint!
Yeah, I know. He came up with the name Penelope Taint. The taint is the part of the body that's between the penis and the anus. It's that skin there, that's the taint. And Dan had said to us in the writer's room, don't tell what this word really means. He wanted us to keep that a secret.
I remember someone from Nickelodeon sitting with us and saying like, oh, does this mean, you know, this dirty thing? And Dan was like, no, why would you think that's like tainted, like you've tainted something? And they were like, okay.
Man, that is power. That is power, that you can just say you want something and it's done. That's what I thought.
So it got on the show, and it's one of those things where it's like, ooh, you know, like, yeah, it's a young girl.
And bless Amanda, and bless the Amanda Show.
In one scene, you know, she's praying in a twin bed. There's something so slimy about connecting this, like, sexualized genitalia joke with a little girl who's portraying a little girl, too. It was clear that there was a permissibility around these sexualized jokes with children.
Just sick, isn't it?
Wow, I'm glad we never watched that. I'm just totally shocked right here, sitting here in shock.
Episode 2, Hidden in Plain Sight, is finally diving into Dan Snyder and the way he implemented the pedophile culture into Nickelodeon, and a continuation on Amanda Bynes.
There was a sketch where I played the youngest rapper of all time, Lil Fetus.
Every yo, 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 Lil Fetus in the womb, yeah.
They were fitting me for the Lil Fetus role. And essentially, you're a fetus, so you're naked. But, you know, they had to put a bodysuit on you. And obviously, it has to be skin tone. Someone said the skin tone should be charcoal. I started to get teary-eyed. Whoever was doing my makeup at the time was kind of like, hand on my shoulder, like, it's gonna be okay. Like, don't worry about that he just said. That was a moment where I felt like, oh, I could go get my mom about this. But also, I know my mom, and I know that she would have rose hell. The on-air dares were the fear factor of Nickelodeon. We would be standing in these tube chambers. It was like this ominous thing that was deciding, who is it gonna be?
Kobe Bryant, Kyle, or Chelsea?
And then it would be lights, and then it would shine on, you know, all the cast members, and it would stop.
Those were particularly traumatic, and they were sort of designed to be. The whole idea was that you would have to do something scary on camera, and they got pretty
scary. I did the peanut butter one, so I had to be submerged in peanut butter. Hey, all right, lay down. That was weird. But then the dogs come, I'm laying on the ground, and then the dogs, they gotta lick peanut butter off my body. That sounds like some kind of awkward fantasy from some freaky dude. It was really uncomfortable. I didn't like that.
I don't like this. I feel gross.
And when you question it, it's like, but it's normal, isn't it? Right? They begin to teach the parents, this is normal.
I didn't need to have dogs lick the peanut butter off. Jack didn't need to be submerged in a pool of worms. I don't think that any of that was necessary. To take my family quite literally out the hood was on its way.
I kind of knew by this time I was the real problem. Dan treated Brian with caution, like he side-eyed him. And so we're in New York City expecting to go back. We get a call from the agent. She was like, come down. And she told me Brian wasn't being invited back.
I was crying because I'm 13, 14, and I've built this family, and now I'm not a part of the family anymore. Like, dang, I didn't even get to say goodbye to my people. Like, my Gio, my Jack, my Kyle. Like, when am I gonna see them again? I definitely blamed myself, but I also kind of felt like the times that my mom was, you know, raising hell, that maybe that had a lot to do with the collective decision to kick me off. It was get them out of here. And that's Hollywood, but I wasn't prepared for that.
The day that we were told, in that moment, he grew up and his body language showed it. Just showed this man protruding out, and that's a man that didn't trust his mom anymore. It ruined us. And you can't get that point, like the moment you can't get back.
Getting kicked off the show definitely was the stage setter for a lot of issues that I still face today as a Black man in therapy. A lot of issues that I'm currently overcoming, but I feel like everything happens for a reason. You know what I mean? Maybe I wasn't supposed to be on set anymore.
I had no idea what I was saving my son from. It was a house of horrors. No kidding. House of horrors.
Amen. Amen to that. She saved him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was one that actually was, he still had to go through a lot, but he was one that actually was rescued from the worst problems. Episode 3 is called The Darkest Secret. Drake Bell finally opens up about what really happened to him on set and off.
Brian and I became really close because we had a lot of the same interests, which, looking back, I think that was probably a little calculated.
You hear a scuttlebutt about the business and what you got to watch your kids and this and that. So I was very attentive. All the other parents would be seen and not heard, which I would never interrupt anything, but very rarely sat in the green room. I'd always be offset somewhere where I could always keep my eyes on Drake. And unfortunately, I started seeing Brian start to just hang around Drake too much. And it didn't set well with me. Drake would be in the dressing room or something, and in would pop Brian and just touch Drake. You know, do things that, wait a second, what are you doing? Drake can put that on himself. And the thing is, this is in front of people. Then he'd maybe walk over to Drake and be feeding him some lines or whatever and put his arm around his waist, put his hand up on his shoulder and kind of run it down his arm and things like that. And this would happen routinely. It was just always uncomfortable.
Leo, as you know, is the latest, hottest, hunkiest teen idol there is.
Yeah, his muscles.
I saw this video of Brian Peck on Growing Pains with Leonardo DiCaprio grabbing his shoulder, running across him and going down his arm. That's the kind of behavior I saw him with my son. Same freaking behavior. So I went to production and said, you know, I really am very uncomfortable with this guy, Brian Peck, always being around my son. I go, I don't see anything abnormal, but it just doesn't, I don't have a good feeling. And she goes, oh, well, I don't know if you knew it or not, but he's gay. Maybe you're just homophobic and you just, you know, you just don't understand that that's, he's a touchy-feely guy. So I said, okay. And then it just kept not setting well with me. So I told people on the set, and I was ostracized. And so I backed off.
Brian was still my friend. Everything was fine. I didn't think anything of anything that was happening. In hindsight, I should have been able to see, but as a kid, you have no clue. But my dad saw it a mile away. And so my dad started making it very difficult for Brian to be around me. I think Brian got a sense that my dad was on the watch. And so he started to really drive a wedge between my dad and me. He started talking about how my dad's stealing my money. Nobody likes that my dad's on set. He's a real problem. So he just started making me believe that he was horrible for my career. I wasn't going to be able to move forward with him in it. And coming from someone like Brian, I was believing it because he's been in this business for so long and he must know more than us. Also because I was spending so much time more so around him than I was really my dad.
I think Drake was so distraught over everything that he avoided me. So I turned her over, you know, the bank account. I turned her over all kinds of paperwork that she needed to be able to handle Drake's career. And But I did say to her, and I said this to her in person, I said, but you never, ever leave Drake alone with Brian Peck, and you never let him be around him unsupervised, period, whatsoever.
Very quickly, Brian put himself in the position of what my dad was doing my whole life. My mom didn't want to drive to LA. She didn't like driving. So Brian would come and pick me up for auditions. I would end up staying the night because, well, I lived in Orange County and I would have auditions, and then it would be, you know, easier to drive me home the next day instead of driving me home and getting me home at midnight or whatever excuse, you know, he came up with. And that's the way it happened for quite a while. He had pretty much worked his way into every aspect of my life. I often look back at that time and wonder how in the world I survived. I remember all of the abusive events. But everything outside of that is very blurry to me, which is a bummer because I experienced a lot of great things in my life and my career during all this time. But it was so overshadowed and ruined by what I was dealing with on the inside, that it made it really hard for me. I didn't feel like anyone knew anything. I was under the impression that this was just a big, giant secret. I just hoped and prayed that one day it would just stop. And then I got a girlfriend, and I was basically spending all of my time at my girlfriend's house because I felt so safe there. And her mom, took her about 6 seconds to catch on to what was going on. There was this time that I was at her house and Brian had planned to take me to Disneyland. I was like, this is not happening. I'm not going. No. And Brian's calling my cell phone nonstop. I was just ignoring it. Well, he started calling my girlfriend's house nonstop. I mean, over and over and over and over. Finally, her mom answered and brought it to me. And he's like, what are you doing? We had plans. People are watching me on the phone. So I just played it off as like, I must have made double plans, but I'm gonna hang here tonight. And he got really upset. And I hung up the phone. And he started calling back and calling back. My girlfriend's mom said, hey Drake, can I talk to you in the kitchen for a second? She shuts the door behind me, so, you know, so it's just the two of us. She's like, what's going on? And I go, oh yeah, Brian, we had plans. She goes, no. A 40-something year old man does not call my daughter's boyfriend like that.
You just know.
You just know.
That's just not right behavior.
Right. So I have one more little clip here. Episode 4 is Too Close to the Sun. It's the final episode, and we see how justice was ultimately lacking. So let's listen to Drake one more time.
Back then, it was a different time, so I think it was a little easier to go to and from a courthouse and not worry about Twitter that night or TMZ paparazzis being there. On the day of sentencing for Brian, I get to the courthouse. It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. His entire side of the courtroom was full. Full. There were definitely some recognizable faces on that side of the room. And my side was me, my mom, and my brother. Brian had been convicted, but getting all of this support from a lot of people in the industry, and yeah, I was pretty shocked. My mom got up, she had a statement. I wasn't going to address Brian. There was no reason to. I addressed my statement to everyone in the room. I looked at all of them. And I just said, how dare you? And I said, you will forever have the memory of sitting in this courtroom and defending this person. And I will forever have the memory of the person you're defending violating me and doing unspeakable acts and crimes. And that's what I'll remember.
So powerful.
Good statement.
Now, what happened? He gets 16 months.
Pig.
Yep. Dan Schneider was interviewed immediately after the series was released, and he was formally issued an apology. And I know we all grow and change, but he's also an actor. So is this genuine or just more of the same, right? I'm not going to play it because it's quite long. Jack Salvatore, who played Mark in Zoe 101 and was a writer for Victorious and Salmon Cat, speaks out about his experience. And he ultimately says, apology not accepted. Right? You can catch all four episodes of Quiet on the Set on our Digging Deeper documentaries on our Rumble channel. And that's linked right there. So there's also several child stars that have been brave enough to open up now that they're adults. From Shirley Temple and Judy Garland to Drew Barrymore, Corey Feldman, Raven, Kate and Ashley, all of these people have stood up and said that it's toxic. Their
Ashley,
children.
Ashley Judd. And,
as well. Kate and Ashley from...
Kate and Ashley, the twins?
The twins.
Aw. These pedophiles, these sick son of a...
Mm-hmm. With all the talk about Quiet on the Set, I recommend everyone check out Alison Stoner's series called Dear Hollywood. It's on YouTube. And she talks about how the industry treats child stars and how they affect... They're affected for life. Yeah, it's just so sad, but it's definitely worth a watch. So each episode is about 45 minutes.
That's on diggingdeeper.net. Diggingdeeper.net, that is on the article that you see there called The Dark Side of Kids TV. But if you go directly to our multimedia channel, diggingdeepertv.com, then you'll find that under our on-demand section, which also you can link to our Rumble channel there at the bottom of our page. There it has all the social media links. Our Rumble channel is also Digging Deeper Documentaries for those four episodes.
Yes.
And thank you for listening to The Ugly Truth, because
they can't stop us, because we're ready to fight, trying to brainwash us. But we won't let freedom die. The whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets.
The whole world's brainwashed.
It's us against them, it ain't you against me.
The Ugly Truth. Hard to listen to, but impossible to ignore. I think by now everyone's heard of podcasting, but what is it exactly? Podcasting is radio on demand through the internet. Simple. It's nothing new, actually. By definition, we've been podcasting for over 20 years. Now, millions of people are tuning into podcasts every day, and the most interesting thing for you is that podcast listeners are more likely to buy a product or service as compared to other media. Of course, radio is still a solid option in the digital age, and that's why you are going to contact us about how we can get your message on podcasts everywhere for less than a nickel an ad. Contact us through the Harvest USA Facebook page or harvestusareport.com. The numbers are on the screen. Podcasting is where it's at now, and people are really responding. Check it out, hailmultimedia.com.